WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for listening to 90.7 The Capstone. You are now tuning into the student section. My name is Tanner Thompson, along with my co-hosts Elliot Miller and Adrian Wesley. It has been about a week since we've last seen you. We're now doing a draft, or a mock draft, excuse me. Fellas, how are we doing today?
Doing pretty good. Ready to dive in.
I'm feeling good, like a week later, like you said. Like
a week later? It was actually exactly a week later. So
it was actually exactly.
Technically an hour.
It
less,
happened
one hour
this
less
week.
Than a week.
Like this time last week.
It's almost like it happens every time.
Kinda. Wow. Sometimes
how about you guys do the intro next time and then we'll talk? How about that?
No, it's okay. I'll leave that to you. That's in your job description.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's what I thought. I'm not going to call you guys co-hosts
Durham
next time.
Fans?
I'm going to call you guys guests next time.
Yeah.
That's what
yes.
I'm
going to
do.
Yes. We've been demoted.
Yeah. Losers.
Oh, man. Anyway. All right. So, yeah. We are going to do a top 10 mock draft today. As the way we're going to do it, we're going to be alternating teams. It's going to be one draft, and we're all going to take control of every third team, respectively. I'm going to go first because of the Carolina Panthers, and I happen to be a Carolina Panthers fan, so thought it'd be fun. And then I believe you are going next, Adrian?
Yes, I'm going to go two, then
and
so
then
on and so
three,
forth.
And then we're going to keep rotating from
I
there.
I guess we can all give a nab at who we think is going to go 10 to the
Yeah,
Eagles.
That's true. Yeah, absolutely.
I think there might be a consensus on that one.
Is it a linebacker?
I don't think so.
No.
And no consensus.
I think we colluded.
I think we did.
I think y'all do this every week. There's every week.
You know what? Colluded. You're the guest, okay?
I am the guest.
Adrian is the guest.
And I know why.
All right. Anyway, we're gonna get into it. So, yeah, I control the number one pick now. The Carolina Panthers, I believe, are going to take, again, I'll preface this in a second, but I believe the Carolina Panthers are going to take Bryce Young with the first pick in the 2023 NFL draft. Now, I'm going to explain it for a second because obviously I know that can be an unpopular take in the sports world. However, we're in the period of time to where, you know, pro days are over, combines are over. As of right now, you know, it's just film.
Right.
You know, whole lot of film watching, and obviously no one comes close to Bryce Young in this class when it comes to film.
No.
It's like, not a competition.
It's not close at all.
He has the best instincts, decision-making, playmaking ability, anticipation.
Yep.
He's an unbelievable player, obviously. We've talked about it 6 million times at this point, the size. But I believe that when the day comes, they're going to see on tape Bryce Young. He has played the best football. And that's at the end of the day, that's what it's about.
Yeah. And I don't think that Stroud – and I do think Stroud is one in this like department as far as accuracy. But I don't think that Stroud's – like that much above him as much as hype as he gets. Like, and I've seen Bryce miss more throws than I've seen Stroud because I watch Bryce every single week.
Absolutely, yeah.
But like,
we see the highlights of CJ Stroud.
Yeah, I see his highlights. But even with that being said, I don't think that I would still give Stroud the notch in that department as far as actually. I don't think it's that.
It's really tight.
Like some of the throws I've seen Bryce make, like that throw he made to Mechie against Georgia, where he's throwing it down like the left sideline. You know what I'm saying? It's like a 3rd and 10,
was
it, and they're like backed
up.
Was
it a sideline catch?
Yes.
I think I remember
and
what
you're
talking
about. And he threw it like 35, 40 yards
that's right.
on a dime. And then there was another one. There's a few that come to mind. There was one where he threw to obviously the one against Kansas State was
– That was unreal.
Was probably his best throw of his career.
And that was over legit and it, like NFL talent cornerback.
That guy was like 6'4", that cornerback.
Yeah, and he's going to be drafted this year. He will be an NFL
no
cornerback.
Doubt. Yeah.
And, I mean
– And he might play early. That guy's good.
Exactly. He could have walked out there and handed him the ball. He couldn't have walked out there and handed him the ball more accurately than he threw that ball.
Yeah, no, that – and then even in that championship last year against Georgia, not the SEC, the national championship.
Yeah.
He had a couple throws that were dropped that were just like –
He did.
That were dimes. He had one of Ajayi Hall that was a dime.
Yeah. One of the things that I think is relevant when it comes to C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young, obviously, I don't want to discredit Stroud too much with this argument, but obviously receiving core. A thing that a lot of people will tell you when it comes to – I've heard this a lot. Deep ball accuracy is a wide receiver stat. It's something that I've heard a lot. And that, for that reason, is obviously quarterbacks play a role.
Right.
But it is up to that receiver to track that ball perfectly and have it and guide it to where it lands right here. You know what I mean?
That's a fair point, because I think there's a lot of Mahomes throws that Tyreek made him.
Exactly.
I'm not taking away from Mahomes, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly. Tyreek made Mahomes.
They both had the best year of their careers apart. So.
One thing that does come to mind for the ball tracking thing is, you know, Tyler Lockett's one of the best ball trackers. For a long time was one of the best ball trackers.
No, he still is.
Exactly.
Yeah, he still is.
And combined with what he was doing with Russell Wilson, those moon balls, it was completely unstoppable. And don't get me wrong, Russell Wilson is still a very good deep ball player, but I do think that Tyler Lockett contributes an uneven amount.
No, I agree. I mean, I personally, this is, you know, not about the draft. I've thought that Lockett has probably been the most underrated receiver in the NFL for a few years. Like, I've always kind of I liked his game.
Absolutely.
Because he's had, I think, how long he's been in the league? Maybe 6-7 years?
Lockett?
Yeah.
I think he's been longer than that.
It's longer. Definitely.
8-9?
I think it's definitely longer
it's
than
definitely
that.
It's definitely more like 8 or
9. I know he's had a good bit of 1,000-yard seasons.
Absolutely, yeah.
What's his stats? How many 1,000 yards?
Experience 8. So eight. That means.
How many 1,000-yard seasons does he have? I bet he's had 7. I think he missed it one time. It's right there. Go back.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. See, he's had 7 of 8
gotcha.
Seasons with 1,000 yards.
I mean, that's you know, that's really good grand scheme as a NFL wide receiver.
That'll work.
And, again, you know, C.J. Stroud has just played in the best situation he'll ever play in his life.
No doubt.
I
think, crazy enough, coming from Bama, Bryce will hopefully one day in the league have a better situation than he
has. His receiving core this year was not good.
It was questionable.
It was, I honestly think
questionable
that,
was probably being nice too.
I honestly, it's
a Bama show. I have to be somewhat nice, right?
You have to be somewhat nice.
I think in the grand scheme of the SEC, it was definitely below average. Like, and that's hard to say about Alabama as a football team, but I do think that receiving core
let's think about it. It was below Georgia's. Right,
it's
below. I would say LSU's.
Yes,
I would say it's below Ole Miss's.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
right. It's below. You could probably make an argument for maybe Arkansas or something. I'm trying to think. I think they have someone in the draft that's pretty good.
Yeah.
What the teams they clear are maybe like Mizzou.
Worse than Texas. I'm saying they're not
definitely,
ACC, but
definitely
we
worse
them.
Than Tennessee.
Lot, oh God.
We worse than that. Worse than OU if we're gonna bring in people
that's
that
true.
Are coming in, right?
Right. So, well, I was really saying Tennessee. Texas more along the lines. We played them this last season.
Yeah,
just matchups.
Oh, okay. No, that's fair. Okay.
I think K-State had a better receiving core.
Might
than
be worse than Texas A&M's too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I think Bryce will have. You know, I think he'll end up having a better situation. Hopefully,
I do think his situation,
especially if
improve.
He go well. Who's his receiving core going to be?
In Carolina?
Yeah.
He's going to have Adam Thielen. They added DJ Chark as well. And they're going to end behind them is just going to be a mix of Terrace Marshall Jr. and
LaVisca Chenault. That's a solid three, though.
It is a solid three to start, especially.
Nothing crazy, but like.
Coming from trading away your top
someone.
Guy.
And they'll draft someone.
I'm really hoping the Panthers take somebody at 39. There will be some guy available
Zay
who
Flowers,
can contribute.
Zay Flowers is not available.
But
unavailable at 39?
No.
I don't think he'll be
available.
No.
Yeah.
I don't get taken before then.
Okay.
A guy I do think is going to be available is like a Josh Downs. I think that's
who's
going to
be better
gonna
than
be,
Zay Flowers.
Do what? Who's going to be better than him?
Yep.
Like taken before him?
No, he's just going to be better.
I don't know, man. I think Josh Downs might go
a
little
Josh
higher
Downs
than you think.
You think so?
Yeah.
He's small, man. He's had no visits. He's had no top 30 visits.
But
wow.
they were talking about like that's how comfortable teams are with him.
Do you think so?
Mm-hmm.
No,
I guess maybe
no visit sounds
no
crazy.
Visit. I mean teams are comfortable with all the quarterbacks.
I'm pretty sure teams are.
Bryce Young has visited almost every top 10 team.
I'm pretty sure teams are very comfortable. Will Anderson's game.
I feel like he's had a couple visits. That's what I'm
well,
saying.
Well, yeah, maybe they like, but like with the quarterback situation, right? Like you have this argument of like, oh, do you take Bryce or like CJ, right? Or if you're in a position, do you take Levis or Richardson, right?
Right.
There is a need to like talk with all those guys. If you are in a position of need at wide receiver, there are so many good wide receivers that you don't want to flood all of your top 30 like pre-draft visits or whatever with like a bunch of wide receivers. If they feel that comfortable with Downs, there's no reason to talk to them again.
Yeah, that's fair.
I guess.
What's
but
the
I
guy's
would...
name from Houston? Tank.
Tank Dell.
Tank Dell is
he's
pretty
tiny.
Solid.
He is so fun to watch on a football field. But
you think
he's
there at 39?
So small. Maybe I think he'll be there at 39, but I'm almost not certain.
Dell would
I
probably
take
be
him
there at 39. I don't think Downs is available at 39.
That's
fair.
That's not fair.
Hyatt won't be there. I don't think
you don't think so at 39.
No, I don't think high.
He'll be close.
Well, so I'll ask you this as the Panthers fan, though.
Yeah, please.
Do you think? I know that you're picking Bryce here, right. But it to me, maybe this is just me as an outsider. It seems like the Panthers are expressing more interest in Stroud. Do you think that's a smokescreen, and they really do believe on the film tape that the Bryce is better, and that's what they'll go with when the time comes?
I absolutely agree with the. Just in terms of what you hear from that landscape, that C.J. Stroud seems to be the guy that some like. Now, I saw today that some people say that Frank Reich thinks that Anthony Richardson is like ideal quarterback. For a lot of these things,
dude, that'd be
you
such
know,
a bad pick.
We're not gonna know. Obviously, it's impossible to know until that pick is made, especially with the first when they need a quarterback and there's
two great choices. No reason to hide it. Right? I mean, like, who's going to jump in front of you?
There's definitely a reason to hide it.
Who's going
to
jump in front of
you? There are teams right behind them that want guys, that want good quarterbacks. And there is a steep drop-off between 1-2 and then 3-4.
No, I totally agree.
Like, exclude my ignorance, but, like, what what does it matter, though? Like, I know, like, I guess they're, you know, quote-unquote playing hooky, but, like, if they have the first pick, like, why does it actually matter?
Yeah, I mean, everyone knows it's going to be a quarterback, right?
What does it matter?
It shouldn't matter.
I think you should do everything to not give...
Play,
the people
show
behind
your hands.
You, the show your hands, or just give anybody behind you in the draft any advantage whatsoever.
Even if
it's something as marginal as them knowing who you're taking at one, I still think NFL teams and GMs, they're going to do everything they can to keep that inside the building because that does their app that they try their absolute hardest to not give any advantage to guys behind them.
I would imagine they do. I think they knew who they wanted when they trade. There's no way that they made that trade and didn't know who they want, which I know that maybe like they give themselves time.
Well, the thing is, they were at 9,
right?
So I think my only argument against that is that they know they're not going to get a top end guy at 9. So I think they make that trade because they know they have to get.
They knew they had to get in the top three at least in order to get either Bryce or CJ. I think that's what it comes down to. There's no way they trade up for Richardson. If that was the move, I'm going to be like,
No
chance. They probably could have.
I would imagine they knew that Chicago was going to trade down anyway. I think they knew the Texans probably weren't, even though there has been stuff coming out about the Texans potentially trading down. I'm not exactly – I don't think that's going to happen.
Set back the franchise by like 20
years. Especially like if the – like what everybody thinks happens. Like if Stroud goes one – and I'm going to jump to that with this.
Right.
If Stroud goes one, with you picking Bryce at one with that pick, I'm going to say the Texans grab Stroud because you know what I'm saying. That's – I think whoever goes one, that the Texans take the other quarterback.
Absolutely.
I don't think the Texans are as bad as – I mean, obviously they had number two pick and, like, they had a terrible season.
Right.
I think that the Panthers do have better upside with some of the
– Absolutely.
Some of the guys they've grabbed this offseason. But I think that the Texans – I think with the second pick, you know, they get their quarterback, whoever that may be. In this case, it'd be Stroud.
Right.
I think they grab a receiver at 12, don't you think? I've seen a lot of JSN or Johnson.
I think 12 is a good place to get a high-end receiver guy, high-end receiver in this draft.
Yeah, so and then with Mechie coming off, Mechie will basically be a rookie. Their running back's Pierce, right?
Yes, Damian Pierce, yes. He did have a great season last year.
Left tackle being?
Laremy Tunsil.
Highest paid left tackle in the league.
Yep.
So that's good for a young quarterback, blindside protected. So I think whoever goes there won't be in as bad as a situation as some people might.
As it looks, I would agree with that. Yeah. I do think they've made some pretty good moves this season, and I don't think the Texans are going to have a lot of guys hitting free agency very soon. But at the end of the day, you can't let that.
I said that leading in. I was talking about. I didn't actually say it. I was going to say that Stroud. If things go how people expect, and Stroud goes one, with people talking about the Texans trading down, I just don't see a way in which. I could see the Texans passing on Stroud before Bryce because I think the Texans like Bryce.
I think they really like
Bryce. Obviously, like with D'Amico being like a Bama guy, pairing him back up with Mechie, I think there's many reasons, like, and I think it's a fit.
They probably prefer Bryce over Stroud.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't see – I'd be shocked if the Texans don't take a quarterback.
Well, I mean, this may be strong wording, but I think it'd be a boneheaded move to not take a quarterback.
Absolutely.
Because if you're going to wait until 12, well, shoot, at that point, Levis and Richardson might be off the board, right?
If you're waiting until 12, they will be off the board.
They will be off the board.
Yeah, exactly. So
Levis will be off.
No, he'll be gone.
Yeah, so, like, so your options, like, so now you're left with, like, Hendon, Hooker. You could go, like, Clayton Tune, I guess? I
don't know. I mean, I'd go. I think there's a few guys that go before Clayton Tune.
Aiden O'Connell.
Do what? I was thinking
Tanner McKee.
Tanner McKee's probably.
They already have a Stanford quarterback in Davis Mills. Are you going to dig another one in Tanner McKee?
No chance that Tanner McKee sees the first round. Zero chance.
I agree. I also don't think I mean, I don't think anyone's going to be taking that, any quarterbacks going to be taking at 12. I think the quarterbacks that are going to be taking are going to be taking top 10, and then it's everything else.
The other quarterback that I think besides those four guys that has a
Hooker, Tendon Hooker,
is Hendon Hooker.
Yeah.
I've seen him to the Vikings. We'll get in that next week.
Yeah, we'll get into that a little bit. Anyway, we're actually going to have to go break here for a second. I know we only got the first and kind of the second pick in this section, but we're going to continue in just a few minutes.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back once again to the student section. We're going to keep moving on with our top 10 picks of our mock draft.
Bryce being one, Stroud being two. Yep, Elliot's got the third pick, which leads us into a controversial topic.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so I do not think that the Cardinals are going to sit on the third pick.
No shot.
I'm convinced that they'll trade back. I think the person that's most likely to trade with them is probably the Raiders, so they can leapfrog the Colts, who are another QB needy team.
Right.
And I think that the Raiders take Anthony Richardson. I personally am not a huge fan of Richardson. Like, I know he's like a really crazy athlete. Haha, he hit the ceiling during his pro day. Okay, that was probably like a PR move. They probably told him to do that. But like, he just doesn't have like the production that I would have liked to see. I just think that it's really high for a guy, but there's a lot of QB needy teams at the top, and if you need a QB, they're going to reach and take no matter what. My biggest issue with him is his completion percentage, which is just leagues below everyone in the class. And I feel like one of the most important things, especially at the second level, is that you have to be accurate.
Right.
Like, I don't care if you can throw it to the moon and back, okay?
No.
But if you can't hit your receiver, well, like, if you couldn't hit him in college, what makes you think that you're going to hit him in the NFL? I mean, this is the best of the best here now.
Yeah, and I just think that, to expound on that, like, I think a lot of his – like, if you look at his highlights, his best plays are just run plays. Like his, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're just run plays, I think.
Yeah. I mean,
just think he's extremely
overrated. He's definitely got some deep
balls. He's got some good passes, good throws, but I agree with Elliot. Like, and I had him as a third pick, just like with the Raiders. I actually had that same pick in my mock draft because I think that's what will happen. But I don't think Anthony Richardson will pan out in the league. I just don't see how a guy can be so terrible in college,
right,
and then just like go crazy in the league. Like, what other quarterbacks have did that? Like, that have been like that bad? Because, like, I mean, if we're being honest, bro, he was not that good at Florida. He started what, 13 games, and they won seven games.
I mean, he has pretty pedestrian stats.
His stats are not good. What was his touchdown to INT ratio?
Let's see, 3.52. No, that's the average. I'm reading the wrong one. Hold on.
I believe he threw something in the range of like 17
and
9.
It's
1.6.
Yeah, I thought it was.
I think he threw 17 touchdowns.
Oh, yeah. Well, for reference here, he threw 1.6. The average out of the QBs in the class, at least the ones that went to the combine, is 3.52.
Right.
So it is less than half of that. Like, I mean, by most metrics, he is below average in every category. And like, that's not me saying that he's going to be a bad player, but like, whenever your metrics are lower than like some of the other QBs in this class who do not even have a first, second, or third round grade on them, right? So like, I'm talking like maybe like a Clayton Tune, like Dorian Thompson Robinson, like his stats are still way, like, they're not even close, like they're way below. So
in the first, it was 17-9.
That's what,
first
on the money,
three games of the season, two of them being ranked games, and then the third game being, they played Utah, who was ranked, they played Kentucky, who was ranked, and then USF, who was like, you know, they're not ranked, but they're still a really good team.
Right.
In those games, he had zero touchdown passes and four INTs.
Right.
Like, I just don't.
Those are his first three games as starting quarterback.
And that's fair, but
I want to say a little bit about Anthony Richardson, because I'm not I'm not like, you know, saying that he's going to be this elite guy at the next level.
Right.
But I do think I, out of us three, am the biggest
fan
supporter of
Adrian Richardson.
Adrian Richardson. But I think what we're all saying about it is something that all teams have already acknowledged in a way, because I don't think any team plans on starting him week one. I don't think that's what people are thinking about Anthony Richardson. But what you see in him is tools that have not – that you haven't seen since, like, a Cam Newton in 2011 probably. Physical tools you have not seen since him. Obviously, Cam Newton –
was a
well
much more finished product.
He was very good. He was very good in college. But with Anthony Richardson, obviously physically there's really nothing he can't do. Physically, obviously. But I think there are things that are – what's in his game is teachable than things that in other, like, let's say, rough quarterbacks games are not. He has a – I'm not going to say above average, but solid pocket presence. It's not a negative in his game.
Yeah.
It is not a negative in his game. He's
a very
twitchy athlete.
You're saying he has stuff that's not teachable?
I'm saying he has stuff.
He has intangibles?
I'm saying his bad parts of his game are more teachable than other things that I would be more concerned about.
Right.
And pocket presence being one of them, that's one of those things that, again, it's so instinctual. Like, you really can't teach pocket presence and that level of twitchiness in a quarterback.
Yeah.
But he does kind of have that. Obviously, the footwork and the accuracy, that is his biggest problem. His pre-play processing is not bad. His in-play processing is bad. Again, these are things that are teachable. Or not, I guess there's no, I should say during play, whatever. But that is bad. What you guys are saying is, I think, already considered by everybody, but he is still one of the freakiest athletes we've ever seen at the quarterback.
And I mean, I do agree. Like, I'll say this, like, you know, I kind of feel like I'm going crazy on him. Something good.
Yeah.
He finished the season really strong. Like, looking at his stats, he finished, six games or so with 12 TDs to 2 INTs.
Exactly.
His completion percentage is really bad, though.
Right.
I'm telling you, man, which is never a good sign. My point is, like, it's not. I'm trying to look at my thing here. Like, the next closest out of, like, the combine individuals, the next closest completion percentage. So he was like 54.7 last year, or next closest is Max Duggan at 60.3. That's like 6% higher. I mean, like I said, it is not even remotely close. His accuracy is at the floor.
And he had one game. Hold up. Nah, he had 2 games with 300. Okay, I'll take that back. He had a great game against Tennessee, dang. He had 450 yards against Tennessee.
Passing?
Yeah.
Wow.
He had 400 against Vandy. I didn't realize he had 453 against Tennessee. That's solid.
That's pretty intense.
That's impressive.
I'll take a look at the Tennessee. Maybe not Vandy.
We should probably check out that Tennessee tape. That's impressive.
Obviously, to, you know, kind of summarize my thoughts on it, he did show improvement in college.
He did.
And when you're looking at a raw athlete in the draft – if you see improvement in college, that is such a good sign.
And it was his first year starting, so.
Exactly. That's like, if he's stagnant, then that's something that you can't, like, that was the thing about Jalen Hurts, that he came in, he was super raw, but he improved every single year.
Yeah.
And that's what made him so much more recruitable, draftable, whatever word you want to use. And I think that's going to kind of apply to Anthony Richardson just in a much less extent because he's only had one season. But he did improve as the season went on.
I'm going to lean bust for being the third pick.
Absolutely,
but
yeah.
I mean, I guess I'm going to just kind of go along the narrative, like, probably everybody, that he's either going to be one of the best players God's ever created or probably, like, the biggest bust. I don't really think he's going to be, like, pedestrian, like, at middle of the pack. Like, I think he's going to either be crazy or he's going to be, like, get him out of the league.
I saw Steve Smith talking about it the other day, and he was saying that, you know, you don't want to be the guy to not invest in, like, Tesla or, like, Amazon. That's what he was saying. Like, this could be something incredible.
Right.
But – and so at the end of the day, you don't want to be the guy who just saw the opportunity and said
and
no.
Let it go.
Exactly.
You don't want to be the other guy either.
But exactly. You don't want to be the one that said, oh, this is the move, and then, you know, it doesn't pan out remotely.
Also,
which is still
a
very real
chance. I didn't think you gave Cam Newton enough credit. You said he was a very good college quarterback.
I'm probably
the best college quarterback
ever
for one season.
First of all.
Just saying.
First of all, I know how good Cam Newton is. As somebody who watched him play some of the best years of football he's ever played, the conversation wasn't about
Newton. Just move on to the fourth pick. We already know he's going to be at the fourth
pick. I'm going to be way more angry at him off air, but we're going to keep
going. We know who the fourth pick is.
Yeah, we already know who the fourth pick is.
Yeah, so I'm going to go ahead and say the fourth pick is Will Levis to the Indianapolis Colts.
So we all have four quarterbacks, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yes, we did. And I'm not going to lie to you, I would have, if he hadn't taken Anthony Richardson at the 3, I would have projected him to the Colts at 4.
I think he makes a lot of sense to the Colts. Like I think
I really do.
Richardson or
Levis?
Levis. No, I think Levis makes
Levis
sense
to the Colts.
I think Bryce or Stroud probably makes sense for anywhere.
Yeah.
And then I think
wherever you put
the other two teams that need quarterbacks being the Colts and Raiders. There's other teams, but mainly those teams.
What makes Anthony Richardson not a fit for the Colts? Where Will Levis is more so.
Okay, I think Levis, and I will preface this with saying I'm not high on Levis either, but I think Will Levis, in a lot of people's eyes, is more of a day one starter. He could offer more of a day one starter.
He's a more finished product.
He's a lot more. That's a great way to put it. He's a lot more finished product, and he's definitely a better. He will be better as a day one starter than I think Anthony Richardson would.
Right.
And obviously, the Raiders just grabbed Jimmy G, and I think sitting behind Jimmy G, a veteran quarterback, would be good for Richardson.
Right.
And I don't think Richardson, like I said, with that, like he's not a day one starter, and I think the Colts are looking for a day one starter.
Yeah.
Like because
– the Colts are most definitely looking for a day one starter.
Sam Ellinger is not going to be their starting quarterback.
You never know.
Yeah. Texas, great. So, I don't know.
Yeah, for real. Anyway.
I just don't think that if that – you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. I just like Anthony Richardson more than I do Will Levis personally in my
I would probably pick Richardson – before I'd pick Levis, and I don't really like either because I think he has a way higher ceiling.
Absolutely. Levis just, dude, I want to elaborate. Actually, I made the pick. I can elaborate on it, actually. But the reason he's my fourth quarterback is, one, I'm glad you took Richardson above him at the end of the day. But the thing I don't like him about it is when you watch him play, like his release, he has like one of the just most – tightly wound and compact releases I've seen, and that can be a good thing. I think that's what helps him generate all the power he does, which is absolutely significant. But it makes him not a fluid thrower. So when he has to make different kinds of throws, when he has to make touch passes, they're not consistent at all. And he's also just completely prone to, you know, a few ducks a game, which is something that I just – seeing that, I think Anthony Richardson is a much more fluid thrower of the football than he is. He's not as,
but he's nowhere near as accurate.
I'm really
Will. I mean, he's not as accurate, but Will Levis is still a very inaccurate quarterback.
Well, he threw 19 touchdowns to 10 picks this year.
Will Levis,
yeah,
and what
and
was
and his
Anthony
QBR was 60.9.
Yeah,
and Richardson's QBR was 71. So I just think that.
I'm glad you say that because that does kind of help back up my narratives. But Anthony Richardson is a much more fluid thrower of the football. I do think that Will Levis, if he did want to change that, that's changing his release. And as a quarterback at this level, that feels like one of those things that it seems like an impossible task to try to change that about a quarterback.
Yeah, and then like, dude, Levis is not good against competition.
He's not, dude.
Like he had 300-yard games this season.
Exactly. I have become so low on Will Levis.
Dude, Will Levis,
bro, is like a certified Will Levis hater.
No, but he's not that good though. He's really like
he really isn't.
I said this.
He really isn't.
I said this in the entire season, and I think we talked about this about like.
Yeah.
I don't know where this like. Magical hype just came from.
Like I get the Richardson hype because he's a freak athlete. With Levis,
like,
they're like,
Levis?
He's the next Josh Allen? Question mark. I don't know about that one,
dude.
But.
Like I said, though, he had 200-300-yard games this season.
Yeah.
One of them was Miami, Ohio, and the other one was YSU. So, whoever the Youngstown State.
I think it's Youngstown State.
So, like, dude, I don't know. I watched Bryce Young play in Tennessee and have 450 yards. I watched Will Levis go to Tennessee and have 98 yards.
Exactly.
And I know it's hard, like matchups and stuff. I think one thing also about Levis is that gets hyped up that he didn't have great receivers. He didn't have great receivers. I don't think his core was as bad as people acted this year, though.
Yeah.
I don't think
the offensive line was pretty rough, but there are, you know, obviously it's hard to excuse, you know, 98 yards. In certain games, but yeah, I really don't like him as a prospect that much. Obviously,
he will be a bust. I'm saying right, I guarantee.
I mean, I'm high on the top two. I'm I drop off a cliff, and then I'm like,
yeah.
With that's everyone, all right. Yeah. But I do off drop a cliff off a cliff after Richardson, too.
I was going to say, like, Richardson, it's just, it's one of those things.
He's
that,
like in his own little.
Exactly. The what if. His own it's his own category. Yeah, like, he's in it's own one of those lane. Things where he could be unbelievable, but it just. It seems like
I'd rather miss on him than Levis.
Absolutely.
You would look smarter picking Richardson on a reach than Levis.
Absolutely. Levis didn't get the start against Sean Clifford. Like, he transferred from Penn State because he couldn't beat out. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I just don't get it.
I think he's sleeping on Sean Clifford. I'm just kidding.
The problem. Yeah. He's got us.
Sean Clifford. I'm going to go fifth pick. It's the Seahawks. There's no way they trade this pick. They're taking Will Anderson, the best player, I think, in the draft.
Absolutely.
Four quarterbacks that start the draft. Obviously, quarterbacks, you know, the most value position in football.
Mm-hmm.
If you were picking as far as best player, I think Will Anderson would be the first pick, maybe the second pick at worst.
Right.
I don't think anybody will argue that he's not one or two as far as best prospect or best player in this draft.
Right.
So, yeah, let's go Will Anderson, take the easy pick.
All righty.
All right. And next up, I got the Detroit Lions.
I'm interested in this one.
Yeah, I'm curious.
I think they have some needs, but they've really improved their team. Right. But I think they're going to shore up. Their big problem was on defense. Their offense was humming at a pretty good rate. Their defense left a lot to be desired. I think they're going to try to add to their secondary even more, okay? Because they have I'm trying to think, who was it from the Eagles? It was Gardner Johnson, right? They got him only on like a 1-year deal.
That's a
yes,
right.
Yeah, so that's a great pickup.
I'm almost convinced he's going to wind up, he'll ball out, but he's going to be gone after that 1-year deal.
That's probably
so
fair.
I think they do need someone else in their secondary to take his place.
Right.
I think they're going to take someone that's someone who's really risen up the cornerback draft stocks. I'm taking Christian Gonzalez.
Yep. As soon as you said someone to take over for CJ, that's what I knew you were taking.
Gonzalez.
Yeah.
Yeah. I felt that. That's a fair pick.
I like it.
I'll tell you who I had in mind. Who'd you have in yours, Tanner?
For who the Lions were taking?
Sixth pick, yeah.
I was going to say Jalen Carter.
I had Carter.
Yeah.
I had Jalen.
I think.
It's like he's got the character questions, but I don't know, man. He's really good.
He's an absolute freak of a really football good. Player.
Yeah.
I just don't think the Lions are going to take Carter at that spot.
I think
they'll opt for a different D lineman at 12, which I think is their next pick. No, not 12.
The Texans pick at 12.
No, wait. Who? They have another pick later on, I swear.
They have the 18.
18.
He
okay,
won't be 18. There at
18. No, yeah, okay. So they'll take a shot in the world. They'll take another D lineman, but I think it's going to be at 18.
Gotcha.
Oh, yeah. With that being said, him not being 18, Carter, that is. I seen a mock draft today that had Jalen Carter to the Eagles at 30.
30?
No, he's not. 30. No, oh no.
I was like,
no.
Dude, that's crazy.
All right.
If he slips a 30, he'd be just.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I just feel like Jalen Carter, you know, everything we've seen on him the past few weeks in Detroit, the city of Detroit, just makes a lot of sense.
Oh, man.
You get those dogs
let's
up
hope,
there.
Let's hope nobody from Detroit is listening to this.
That was like a really, really like.
They would probably agree. You,
this is a solely Adrian
take. They would agree.
I want to separate myself from this take. This is Adrian.
Okay. Yeah, I'm separating
I'll
myself
take,
too.
I'll take mine with this.
Yeah. All right.
When we was over break, we were talking. We didn't preface this when we were talking about Anthony Richardson.
Right.
I said, now, is this crazy? I said, what was the difference between him and Jalen Milroe? I mean, Milroe's a crazy athlete. Elliot said, what was the difference between him and what's the guy? Malik Willis.
You know what? I'll own this take right now. I'll do it, okay?
Please.
Famous third round quarterback out of
Liberty.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I just want to preface this. Whenever the Steelers were in the quarterback market after Ben Roethlisberger retired, right? The big talk was who were they going to take, right?
It was Malik Willis or Kenny
And it
Pickett,
was it was down to Malik Willis or Kenny Pickett, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And people were utterly convinced for like the majority of the draft process that Malik Willis was the best quarterback far and away due to like athletic traits and intangibles, and I never saw it. I was like, I hope they don't draft this guy. I did not see it, and I just
didn't. You
didn't
see the athletic traits and intangibles, or you didn't see
I just
him being a good quarterback?
Neither.
I just didn't see any of it. I'm going to be honest. I didn't. Maybe I had the sunglasses on whenever it was dark, but I didn't see anything, okay?
Right.
I thought that Kenny Pickett was the clear and away number one quarterback in that draft, okay? And I wasn't surprised to see Malik Willis, like, whenever he wasn't taken in that first round, I'm like, he's not going in that next round either. But yeah. The fact that I saw that small sample size with the Titans, and the fact that I understand that he's kind of like a project, kind of like what Richardson would be, because Malik Willis is not a finished product, and he still has development to go. But in the small sample size, whenever the Titans had it on the line for the playoff hopes, instead of turning to the rookie that they were trying to develop, they went and signed Steelers legend Josh Dobbs off of the Lions practice squad to lead them to the playoffs. And right. If that's not an indictment, it's either an indictment on like the Titans and how they were developing him, or it's an indictment on him. And that maybe he just wasn't the guy to like be Tannehill's successor.
So you didn't see it in him, but you see that he's similar to Anthony Richardson.
I think he's very. I think it's this very similar thing.
He doesn't
have the production in college, but all of a sudden he just shoots up the rankings. Oh, he might be the best quarterback.
Okay. I think you're saying they're similar as far as like the way they're getting
the hype. Yes,
but not similar in athleticism. But,
No. Not Richardson clears
at all.
Richardson clears. I want to make that very clear. Richardson clears.
We were confused. I was like, okay, no, that just don't make sense. I
heard. I
get what you're saying.
The difference between Malik Willis and Anthony Richardson. It's just, oh my god.
Yeah, the way that came out is like, no. Okay.
My bad, guys. I'll make sure to be a little more, I'll be more careful with my word selection during the break.
Before we get to the seventh pick, I'm going to say that I think last year's quarterback class will go down as one of the
worst. Dude, so
because,
bad.
I mean, and I think
you're
going to
be mad
Purdy
when Kenny Pickett wins like multiple Super Bowls. Okay.
Pitt and Steeler, I forget
about
that.
It's 2023. That. By 2028, they'll be drafting another QB1.
I don't think so.
No, I'll say this. I personally think that Kenny Pickett will be the best. And I'm not. I thought before the draft that Kenny Pickett was the best quarterback. But with that being said, I didn't think he was first-round material. No. I didn't think any of the guys last year were first-round.
And the Steelers' offense, they got their guy. You know what I mean? They saw him. They went and got him. Yeah. It's hard to argue.
You're going to have a mid-quarterback for the next decade.
Exactly. But, you know, that's just...
To be fair, there's no way. Do you think he ever is like a top... He's never going to be a top five.
So, no. No chance.
I'm
not saying that. Okay. But here's my thinking on it, right? With the Steelers, you don't need some elite quarterback to be at the helm. They have an elite defense, okay? It is almost always top five. Sometimes it slips a little bit, top 10 most of the time. And they have offensive pieces, right? They got Najee, they got Freiermuth, they got like Pickens and stuff like that. And like the whole thing with Pickett is that he just has like, I don't know, it's just kind of like the attitude.
His mojo. Yeah.
His mojo, his moxie. And
swag.
The biggest thing that I saw, because people were very content, like us Steelers fans were content, like, okay, let's just see what Mitchell Trubisky can do, right? That didn't last very long because it was evident, and I told people this in the preseason, the minute they put Pickett in, that offense just looked different. They just looked like they were having fun, that they were enjoying it. Unlike the past like 3 years where I saw the shell of Ben Roethlisberger throw 4 yard passes. It looked like he was like
crazy
straining
short,
his arm, okay?
Crazy short.
And then I watched Mitch Trubisky just throw it in like double coverage, and I'm like, Mitch, come on, man.
Where is Trubisky now?
He's still a backup.
Tells you how much he matters. Yeah. you said that that Pickett will be good with them. Right. I don't think that. When's the last quarterback that won a Super Bowl that wasn't elite? Like, because we kind of transition now to like more of the elite quarterback. Like, what was the last non-elite quarterback to win?
Wait a minute. I'm not sure, to be honest with you.
So, Mahomes, Stafford, Brady, Mahomes.
Yeah.
Who won? Maybe Nick Foles.
Foles is probably – that's got
Foles is your most recent. But yeah. I think, like, when you think of, like, quarterbacks that, like
– Even before that, though, it was a stretch run where there was still, like – he was like an anomaly almost for the past decade.
No, yeah. I would agree.
Well, no, I don't know. Manning won it. He wasn't elite
but
when he won.
Let's see. Rookie years are not always the best indicator of how things will shake out. Let's look at Josh Allen, right? Awful rookie year. He's one of the best QBs in the league. So we'll just see how it pans out. And that goes for these four as well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's fair.
We've gotten a little bit off topic with the draft. Obviously, still great football talk. We're going to be back in just a few minutes with the last few picks of our mock draft.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
All right, everybody, welcome back once again to the student section. We're going to wrap up our last few picks of our top 10 mock draft. I believe right now I have the pick for the Arizona Cardinals at 7. And with this pick, I'm going to take Mr. Jalen Carter from the Georgia Bulldogs. I think he was the – I do think – we've had this conversation before, but I personally think he was the best player in college football last season. And I do think that once we get to the Cardinals at 7 – you know, J.J. Watt's just retired, and that defensive that interior defensive line wasn't great to begin with. They're going to need significant help, and it's also kind of a best player available pick.
Yeah, I was about to say, exactly. Like, he has – we talked about in the break, he has a amount of questions about his character and whatnot.
Yeah.
It's almost at that point, like, you got to take him.
Absolutely. And if you – I imagine – we said he's not doing interviews outside the top 10, but he's still doing interviews within the top 10, correct?
Well, see, that's the thing. Like,
that's one of the craziest things I've ever heard, though.
All we know is that he's refusing to talk to anyone who's outside the top 10, but they haven't said who he's talked to in the top 10, right? For all we know, it's one team or whatever.
And Tyree Wilson would also still be there based on our mock draft.
He would still be there.
So that's the guy that I could.
And that's not a bad pick at all.
It's not a bad pick, but I would completely agree the best player available in that scenario would be Jalen Carter.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any denying that.
He is. It's passing on him right here, I just think, is just a horrific idea. The only way it's a bad pick is obviously if the personality stuff, if the off-the-field issues come up when he's in the league.
Which I don't think. I don't know.
I'm not exactly going to project that.
Yeah,
I don't think it's going to be a big deal at the end of the day.
No.
Well, you sure hope not, right? Like, don't work for all that and throw it away.
Like, all he's done to this point, like, he's already gotten a lot of trouble, which, in a way, could be a good thing as far as, like, he's gotten a lot of trouble. Look, he hasn't gotten an amount of trouble that's life-changing.
Right.
So, like, maybe it's like a wake-up call.
And also, if he does these interviews and he goes in and, you know, let's say he interviews with the Cardinals.
Right.
In this hypothetical scenario, he goes in there, he interviews, and if they like the interview, then they're going to take him. You know what I mean? At the end, they're going to say, all right, all this off-the-field stuff, it's not that big a deal. We just interviewed him personally. We're going to take him at 7. I think it's absolutely what would be the case. And I can't imagine he falls out of – I guess Jalen Carter also can't imagine that he falls out of the top 10.
Jalen Carter will be in shambles if he falls out of the top 10.
All these teams will be like, yeah, I'm not taking him.
Oh, dude. Yeah. What's going to happen if he don't, though? Somebody will still take him, though.
I think it'd be funny. I think the teams will all play chicken and see, like, how long he can last.
Yeah. What if he goes undrafted?
Oh, that would be the best free agent signing maybe ever.
What if he just didn't get signed? He just
never plays
football
again?
Nobody just wants him. Dude, he would dominate the XFL
to ungodly
amounts. He would have like 30
Seattle Sea Dragons.
30 tackles for a loss.
He may be the best athlete. He may be the best athlete ever if he goes to the XFL and plays his entire career.
Dude, it'd be crazy.
Get 25 sacks as an interior defensive lineman.
Yeah, that'd be wild. So, I'm gonna say this before I make this pick. In my mock draft, I had Carter going 6. We had to the Lions, and I had Tyree Wilson to the Arizona. And in my mock draft, Elliot had Gonzalez at 6 to the Lions. Mm-hmm. I had Atlanta getting Gonzalez. But with this draft, I'm going to just go same position and say that Atlanta snags Devin Witherspoon, the cornerback out of Illinois.
I like that.
I think, you know, that they pair him with A.J. Terrell and that – dude, that would be,
much needed secondary dangerous. Help. And then they also got Jesse Bates, right? So now their secondary would be pretty, like,
no flaws,
pretty locked down. Yeah.
No flaws.
No
flaws at all.
No flaws.
I said no fly zone. No
flaws. No
flaws. No, you heard it. No flaws. No flaws whatsoever.
Nothing's wrong in the Atlanta secondary.
I think they take a cornerback. They pair him on the other side of Terrell.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
I like that pick.
This has got to be one position.
Now we've got the Chicago Bears.
The Bears.
This should be one position right here.
One position right here?
One position?
One position.
Okay, let's see if you guys are on the same wavelength as me. I think that they need a little bit of help on the offensive line.
Okay.
I'm going Paris Johnson Jr. out of Ohio State.
You took your time getting to that point, but I'm glad
I was nervous. I was very nervous.
I was ready to hear, like, wide receiver or something. It's like, oh, my gosh.
No, see, they got DJ Moore, right? They're all set now.
Did you have them getting
incredible receiver
Paris Johnson?
Do what?
In your personal mock draft?
I think they probably go Paris Johnson.
I think Paris Johnson is the obvious pick.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and I don't think there's really much to say. Arguably best tackle in college football, right? Yeah. So I mean, I don't even
think, Ohio State with Fields.
Yeah.
Like Paris Johnson, Ohio State.
Yeah.
I just think this makes the most sense.
Yeah. No, I like
out of all the picks in the top 10, this might be my like for sure pick. Like I think that he goes.
Oh, surefire?
I really think he goes.
Okay.
There,
I'm gonna kind of talk about this a little bit just because we've got some time here, but I know that Paris Johnson is like the, you know, what everyone thinks is the best in college. I do think that I may like Osiris Torrance a little bit more.
Florida guy.
Yeah. I think he's a little bit more refined than Paris Johnson is. And Paris Johnson, you know, he's obviously he's a freak pick. He's a tackle. He's just huge, strong. That being said, though, I kind of brought this up when I talked about Lucas Van Ness when we were doing our edge guy rankings. Lucas Van Ness, he's a physical freak, so that should be mentioned. But he bulldozed Paris Johnson a few times. And for a guy who, you know, his best traits should be being able to withstand against bull rushes and things like that off the edge, you know, it's not exactly the greatest look. But at the same time, you can't discount his size, his strength, his speed.
Right.
So,
but, personally, I do think I like Osiris Torrance.
So you think they'll take
better.
An inside offensive lineman over like a tackle?
I still think the Bears are going to take Paris Johnson.
Right, but like you think that there could be an argument to be made that they could potentially take like, or is that just like your personal opinion? Like,
I just think it's my personal opinion that Osiris Torrance, because we're just the topic was Paris Johnson is the best offensive lineman in college football. I do think that Osiris Torrance may barely have him.
Right,
barely.
Okay,
so that takes us through the top nine, and I guess everybody can give their crack at 10.
Absolutely.
You want to go ahead, Elliot?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, so like at 10, personally, I think that with all the reports regarding like the no like talking outside top 10, I'm convinced that there's a team out there who promised him that they're going to take him if he was available. I think that team is at 10 in the Philadelphia Eagles. I thought Jalen Carter was going to go to the Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay, in your mind. Yeah.
In my mind.
In your mock.
Now that he's not here.
Yeah, where do you think they go as well?
I think they're still going to go with a Georgia Bulldog in Nolan Smith.
There we go.
I like that.
Yeah. That's if Jalen Carter was at 10, Howie
that
Roseman
would
call that pick
be,
in.
Now he'd be licking his lips like,
gosh,
dude, he would call that pick in before the timer started.
Yeah, he'd be calling.
I mean, like, it would be like immediate.
Yeah,
like,
it would
get him here, give him his jersey there.
Those Eagles, they love trench play and Jalen Carter. Oh, my
he, would
gosh,
he not be the perfect
so
replacement for Cox?
He absolutely would. And but, yeah, I do like the Nolan Smith because
– that's who I had.
Nolan Smith, honestly, a good pro comp for him is Hassan Reddick, who's already on that Eagles team.
Yeah.
And you put both of those guys on the edge of a defense,
dude,
that is really hard to defend.
They got Jordan Davis too, right?
Jordan Davis on the interior. Yeah. So, again, you already have an interior guy that's still developing. And, again,
they
the run
Kobe
defense.
They got Kobe Dean. It's just a whole Georgia defense.
And then they
absolutely.
Yeah. And then their secondary, I think, is still pretty good, even with the loss of Gardner Johnson, right? So they still got Slay and Bradbury.
Yeah.
So,
Dude, if Carter went to the Eagles, dude, that'd be crazy.
That'd be a really good team. Obviously,
yeah.
I mean, they were already, you know, in the Super Bowl.
They're pretty decent last year.
Yeah, solid team overall. But, yeah, I liked it a lot. That was probably going to be my ideal pick for them at 10. And I think you agreed, too, right?
And that's who I had in my mock draft was Nolan Smith. I think it makes a lot of sense in every single way possible. Honestly.
Every single way possible.
I don't think it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. This does make Tyree Wilson go outside the top 10.
Was he out of 10 in yours?
Do what?
Was he out of the top 10 in yours?
I can't remember off the top of my head.
No, not in mine. I see.
You had him where?
I had him going to the Cardinals. I didn't have the Cardinals. I didn't have the Cardinals taking Jalen Carter, and that's why I think Jalen Carter is available at 10, and then Nolan Smith is in the teens.
Yeah, that makes sense. I like that. I'm okay with that.
The one guy from mine that changed, just from us doing it, I had Witherspoon jumped up to the top 10. I think
Witherspoon has a chance of being a top 10 lock. If you really need the cornerback.
Really?
Because there's an argument that him and Gonzalez is like he's the young, like,
he's
like more raw guy.
He's
but Witherspoon is the finished one.
It almost feels a little bit like, I'm not going to say Derek Stingley, but it kind of feels a little Sauce Gardner versus Tariq Woolen. Tariq Woolen, physical freak, but does not have the same skills that Sauce Gardner did. And same thing here. Devin
Tariq Woolen as far as like pre-draft or season?
I'm saying pre-draft.
Where did Tariq Woolen get picked in the draft?
I'm pretty late.
Yeah, he's like a fifth-round pick.
Midseason is probably a better comparison.
Okay, but, yeah.
Regardless, the two guys, they were probably the best two corners that came out of that draft as of right now.
Yeah.
As of right now, one
Stingley
guy.
Stingley will probably catch up.
I'm sure he will. Yeah. He was just.
Well, you'd hope so. I mean, that was a pretty high pick.
He was a third.
Also, the Texans didn't really use him well. In his defense, they just use him as a cover two.
Who do they use DB. Well usually?
Really nobody, honestly. So, but yeah, they and there's a some coach famously says that I could find a cover two DB at the local 7-Eleven.
Right.
So if that tells you what you need to know about his usage at Houston, then yeah.
I still think prospect wise, I think I've been watching college football since 2009. I think Derek Stingley might be the best cornerback. Just prospect.
I liked him better as a prospect.
Just prospect. Yeah, he was really good.
Absolutely.
Because he would have had the one the highest. Okuda went third.
Yeah.
I really liked Okuda. I liked Okuda in college more than I like Stingley, yeah. But as a prospect, I still like Stingley.
He had some okay games this year for the Lions, but that's the best
this is his year.
In a while.
If he don't, I'm saying he was a bit of a reach.
But
he was what?
A bit of a reach, Okuda.
Okuda might be one of my favorite corners ever, but I did think three was fairly high.
Yeah, I would agree. All right. Well, yeah. I think that settles anything we have for this mock draft. Anything we want to add here at the end? Do we feel good?
No, I'm ready for next week, 11 through 20.
Absolutely. All righty. Mm-hmm. Well, with that, we are going to end this show. We will see you guys exactly a week from now. Maybe I'll say it again just for kicks. But, yeah, everyone have a good week.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.